Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices, to debunk myths about veganism and animal rights, and to encourage people to live according to their own values of compassion and healthfulness. You can learn more about what we do and who we are by visiting CompassionateCooks.com. I'm so sorry it's taken me so long to get to part two of losing weight. I have been trying to get to it, trying to write it and then record it for a very long time. So thank you for your patience. I really, really appreciate it. I'm recording here now in possibly the most uncomfortable position I've ever been in recording because Charlie, our newest addition to our family, our kitty, likes to sit on my lap while I work. So I have completely lost all ability to type properly when I'm working and now apparently to record properly because he's on my lap and I have limited mobility. So hopefully that won't affect my voice too much. Before we get started, I want to tell you about a very special person who has a really lovely story and who has been a great supporter of Compassionate Cooks in general and this podcast in particular for a while now. His name is Drew Ellis, and I met Drew for the first time in November of 2009. Not that long ago, when he came to my table at the San Francisco Green Festival to share his story with me. Luckily, he also wrote to me, so I can share his story with you, which is much better than me trying to paraphrase what he said. Here's a bit of what Drew wrote to me. Said, "Dear Colleen, I've recently moved back to the San Francisco Bay Area after having spent the past 8 years in Venice, Italy. When I fell in love and moved to Venice in 2001 to be with my partner, Angelo, I had been vegetarian for many years and vegan for approximately a year and a half. But within a few short months of my arrival in Venice, I started the slow, slippery slide into an omnivorous diet. I could blame this on the romance of my new life or living in a new culture or the hours I spent cooking with Angelo's mother, Maddalena, but I will own up to the fact that I hit a speed bump in my conviction and integrity and just turned a blind eye toward the truth. Fortunately, once one knows the truth behind what we do to the animals, it is virtually impossible to sweep it under the carpet of our consciousness and pretend that it doesn't exist. It was around my second year in Venice that I began the slow walk back to vegetarianism, and then maybe the following year that I discovered vegetarian food for thought. I listened to the entire collection of podcasts, some of them many times over, crying frequently but always inspired by the strength and courage of your words, and began the process of reinventing myself as a vegan. The road was not simple. Apart from living in a food culture where vegetarianism is still a little suspect and veganism considered on par with anarchy, I had finally given in to a lifelong passion for cooking and started cooking professionally from the ground up upon my arrival in Italy. My first move was from the kitchen into the pastry department, where I didn't have to face the routine daily killing of eels and fishes, and within a couple of years upon my return to veganism, I was able to create a vegetarian food bar within an organic pasta shop. This was the only place in the city where one could buy 100% organic, rigorously seasonal, vegetarian, approximately 70% vegan, home cooking. Even here, I must take a moment to thank you, because it was around that time that The Joy of Vegan Baking was published, and many of your standard recipes quickly became my standard recipes. I pride myself for bringing, with your help, vegan apple pie and muffins to a working-class Venetian neighborhood, proving the truth of your motto, if it's good, people will eat it, whether it's vegan or not. I came back to San Francisco, where I'm now working in the Central Kitchen at Cafe Gratitude, which is a great organization and has taught me so much. I'm in the initial phase of creating a new project called A Place at the Table, which I would like to be a benefit for Compassionate Cooks and the Vegetarian Food for Thought podcast. It was through this moving, well-researched, and heartfelt mirror that I was forced to take a look at my integrity and realize that there was a lot I needed to work on. With the intention of supporting your work, which is changing our perception of animals as food and creating a space where people can come together to share food that brings about transformation, it would give me such a pleasure to have you as a guest of honor at this inaugural dinner and have you bless it with your prayer for the animals." Well, in February of this year, this is 2010 now, Drew created the most amazingly beautiful event that sold out, I think, a couple of times. I think they kept expanding the number of people they allowed. He thought it would just be a few people coming, but those numbers continued to grow the more people expressed interest in it. I think ultimately there were about 30 people at this table, the series of tables put together, these beautiful tables in his home in San Francisco. The space had been completely transformed by a good friend of his, and it was full of just incredibly warm, special people. His friend Neil, a professional tenor, also shared his amazing gift with us, and he sang Bach's Sheep May Safely Graze, which was doubly special because that was the music David and I got married to almost 9 years ago. The menu was a delectable five-course traditional Southern Italian menu. It was unbelievably beautiful and delicious. And 100% of the proceeds went to Compassionate Cooks, which was made possible by Cafe Gratitude's donation of the food and the chairs and so much else. And of course, the participation of all of Drew's incredible friends. It was so moving. It was so humbling to be the guest of honor. And I'm just so grateful to Drew for his commitment to the animals. I'm so grateful for his sensitivity and his generosity. He is a testament to why we need to think twice before judging someone for reverting back to eating animals, even after they had been vegan. There's always hope. There's always hope for a return, or a return back to compassion. So thank you, Drew. The animals are blessed to have you as your friend and ally, as am I. And I share that with you to demonstrate yet another way we can spread compassion. Not all of the people at the dinner were vegetarian, and that was part of Drew's intention, to demonstrate to non-vegetarians how delicious and beautiful vegan, quote-unquote vegan, food is. This is something anyone can do. Food is inspiration. So thank you, Drew. Thank you, everyone, for your support and for your listenership. If you'd like to support our work and have this podcast continue, please become a Compassionate Cooks member by visiting CompassionateCooks.com. I also want to thank our compassionate business partner, Teance. I don't make it a secret that I'm a tea junkie. I'm sitting here right now with some tea from Teance. I'm not kidding. They're Nilgiri, they're black tea, interestingly. I'm drinking some black tea, which is technically red tea, and it's not like any black tea you've ever had. It's not like the other kinds of black tea that is sold in a bag and is really just let's just say it's not Teance. Let's just say it's not true black tea. It's amazing. So I really am sitting here with my tea. And Teance has the absolute best tea. They have an incredibly beautiful tea room. If you're able to get to the San Francisco Bay Area, they're in Berkeley on 4th Street. They have classes and harvest parties where you can sample the teas that the buyer, the owner, Winnie, brings back from China and Japan and India. She goes and she knows all of the growers and comes back with the harvests from that season, which is really, really special. So please check out Teance.com. You don't have to be in the Bay Area to experience their wonderful teas, whether they're the white teas or green teas or oolong teas or the red teas. And if you want to know more about tea, check out the Holiday Gift Guide 2008, I believe it is. I plan to pull out all of that information about tea into its own episode, because I don't think people are finding it, because they just figure if it's a holiday gift guide, it's relevant only for the holidays. And that's certainly not the truth. But at that in that episode, Teance had sponsored that episode, and I talked all about Teance, but I talked all about tea and told you the difference between the white and the green and the oolong and the red, etc. So I'll pull that content out. I'll pull those audio files out. I have to edit it and then make it its own episode, so you can hear more about that. And to boot, Winnie and several of the staff at Teance are vegetarian, and they're really lovely people. So you are supporting a vegetarian company when you buy the tea from Teance. Compassionate Cooks members receive a discount from Teance, so please become a member to enjoy this perk. And if you're already a member, you'll enjoy it right away. So thank you, Teance. That's Teance.com, Teance. And incidentally, I have to say this was so neat. I was at one of their harvest parties just about a month ago, and I was there. It was a small group of people, and by the end, I was looking across the room, and I recognized a face. And I kind of pointed at her and said, "You look familiar." And it turned out she had worked for an animal organization. So I had seen her at some event. And she said that she started coming to Teance after she heard that 2008 episode about Teance. And she had been to several of their events and she became hooked on Teance and on really good tea. So that was just an absolute hoot to meet her and to know that, you know, to actually see a person who had started coming to Teance because of my recommendation. It was really special. So thank you, Teance, and thank you, everyone. So let's get started here on part two of weight loss, losing weight. We talked in the first episode about burning calories, calorie expenditure, which is the first component of weight loss. And today we're going to talk about the other component, which is reducing calories. Because in terms of weight loss, that's what it comes down to, burning more calories than you take in or taking in fewer calories. Now, in part one, I talked about the fact that though not everyone loses weight upon going vegan, some do, for a very simple reason. The ones who do lose weight for a very simple reason. And that reason is they're taking in fewer calories since plant foods are less calorie dense than animal products. Now, I want to be clear about this right off the bat. Eating fewer calories does not necessarily mean eating less food. This is basically the principle behind eat more, weigh less, that you can eat more food than you do when you ate animals and animal secretions in terms of volume, but you're eating fewer calories because there were fewer calories in plant foods, right? So this isn't about dieting and this isn't about eating less. It's about eating less calorie dense foods. Does that make sense? So there are fewer calories in plant foods because there's less fat in plant foods. But if weight loss is your goal, you'll want to have a smaller ratio of the higher fat plant foods, such as avocados and nuts and seeds, and certainly the refined oils of those higher fat plant foods. Now remember, 1 gram of protein has 4 calories, 1 gram of carbohydrates has 4 calories, but 1 gram of fat has 9 calories. And so that's what we're talking about here. And of course, you're going to want to limit your refined carbohydrate intake, which is what I recommend anyway. That's just the refined flour, refined sugar. And of course, you'll want to reconsider eating deep fried foods and empty calorie snack foods. But that's a good thing because what you'll be filling your body with is high nutrient whole plant foods. And that's really the goal, high nutrient foods. Now, even just saying what I said may sound like diet speak to you, limit this and have a smaller ratio of that. And on one hand, it really is the way it is. If you want to lose weight, you want to eat fewer calories. And frankly, to be honest with you, I think we all as a nation eat, or as really, certainly in the industrial parts of the world, because I realize there's people who are listening to this that are not just in the United States, but just in general, I think we all eat way more than we need to anyway. The choices we have in grocery stores and restaurants are quite absurd, in my opinion. We are an incredibly gluttonous society, and we seem to really struggle with the concept of simplicity and eating just as much as we need. Our Epicurean delights take precedence over our basic caloric needs, right? People are not just eating because they need to, you know, just survive and kind of function. We have all this other stuff that's loaded on top of our basic caloric needs. So on one hand, sure, we could eat less than we do and be better off for it. So that's not a bad thing. It's just that so many of us have been bogged down with diets and have gone through that cycle, and people are really sensitive to that idea. But what I want to offer is a different perspective when it comes to thinking about the calories we take in and reducing them so that we experience weight loss, but in a joyful, empowering way, not in this restrictive, deprivation mentality. And I mentioned this briefly in an episode from well over a year ago, an episode called Eating Healthfully Affordably, when I talked about the cost of the food we eat, that we don't want to consider only the monetary cost of what we eat. There's also the environmental cost. There's the cost to our values. There's the cost to the animals. And there's also the obvious cost to our health. And this is related to what I want to talk about, the cost of calories. The idea is that you have a certain number of calories to spend throughout each day, and they should be spent as effectively and efficiently as possible, spending calories that are nutrient dense rather than empty. And remember, empty calories refers to calorie-rich foods that are nutrient poor. So calorie-rich but nutrient-poor foods. The idea is that we want every calorie we spend, every calorie we take in, to go towards giving us the best bang for our calorie buck, to giving us the highest dividends, right? And what this means is that it gives us the most amount of energy, provides us with an abundance of healthful nutrients, it contributes to short and long-term health, and it gives us the most amount of pleasure. We can have all of that, yes, we can, and lose weight. So just as you do your financial budget, and if you're not doing a financial budget, I recommend you do so, where you determine how much money you have and you figure out how you want to spend it, you do the same thing for your calorie budget. You can spend it however you like each day. You do not have to deprive yourself of even your favorite cookie or a tablespoon of veggies or garlic aioli if you want that on your sandwich. You decide how to spend it. But like all good budgeters, you begin to learn to spend your calories wisely. And just as credit in terms of money, or no money, credit is not the best way to make purchases with your dollars because you're spending money you do not have. You also learn that if you spend calories, you also have to pay for them. You have to pay for them somehow. So if you really want that piece of chocolate, if you want chocolate every day, let's say 200 calories worth, right? Maybe a third of a chocolate bar, then you just have to realize that you need to pay for it by taking a brisk walk or a quick jog or take those calories away from somewhere else during the day. So you can still have it, but you have to pay for it. And this is much different than I worked out, so I will treat myself to a cookie. It's rather, I want to treat myself to a cookie and I'm willing to pay for it by expending those calories, i.e. paying for it, right? Does that make sense? It's so much more empowering to think that way. And I think it's kind of fun to think that way. You're not a victim. You're in control. You're making conscious decisions and you are not a slave to that cookie. So what I want to do, whereas in the calorie expenditure episode, we looked at the different ways that you can expend 500 calories in one, you know, in kind of in one shot. Let's look at ways to spend 500 calories in terms of calorie intake. Now, 500 calories is a nice round number. Depending on your sex and your weight and your height and your weight loss goals, some of you may make 1,500 calories a day your goal as in terms of intake. Some of you may make it 2,000 and so on. So I like 500 because it's just a nice round number, and because it's a multiple of 3,500. And again, if you haven't listened to part one, you shouldn't even be this far on this episode. So you should know this by now, and you should have listened to part one by now. But 3,500 calories is the number of calories that make up 1 pound. So somehow you have to expend or reduce the equivalent of 3,500 calories in order to lose 1 pound. So I like 500 calories in these examples because it's just a nice multiple of 3,500. It's an easy number to go by. Now, before we look at ways to spend 500 calories, some of you may be asking the question, how many calories should I consume each day? Now, remember, in terms of weight loss, it's a matter of having a calorie deficit. So really, the number of calories you consume each day matters less than the fact that you consume fewer calories than you burn, or you burn more calories than you take in. So if you're aiming to lose 1 pound a week, then you'll want to have a calorie deficit of 500 calories a day, or that's the equivalent of 3,500 calories a week, which is the equivalent of 1 pound. So that's 1 pound a week. So if you take in 1,500 calories a day, then your goal would be to have a deficit of 500 that day. Okay, right? So if you take in 1,500 calories and your goal is to have a 500 calorie deficit, then you need to burn 2,000 calories. That makes sense? 2,000 minus 1,500 is 500. If you take in 2,000 calories, you'll want to burn 2,500 calories a day to reach that 500 calorie deficit. And remember, this is up to you too. Your weight loss can be slow or fast depending on this deficit. If you want to lose a half a pound a week, then you can have a deficit of 250 calories a day, which which means if you took in 1,500 calories, you'll want to burn 1,750 and so on. So you can figure this out however you like, increasing or decreasing the calorie intake or increasing or decreasing the calorie burn to get your deficit. I think it's fine. And I am not a math person. I just don't usually gravitate towards numbers. But I think it's really fun to be able to calculate that yourself. And it really, again, puts you in the driver's seat. So let's look at some meals. Let's look at some meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we'll look at some snacks, and we'll look at the amount of calories. Now, I'm giving you just ideas just so you can see the volume of food we're talking about for 500 calories, and then we'll talk about ways within that, how you can cut some more calories within that. These are just examples. You know, these are just absolute examples to show that it's not about deprivation. But as you know, my message is to eat whole foods as much as possible. But I want you to see how many options there are for you. So let's look at like some lunch and dinner ideas. Now, if we took 5 tofurkey slices, you know, this like turkey slices, the tofurkey slices, 5 tofurkey slices, it's 100 calories. And 2 slices of whole wheat bread is 200 calories. 1 tablespoon of vegan mayonnaise is about 80 calories. And then you've got your lettuce and tomato. Now, you're going to want something to go with that sandwich. And so I would recommend, personally, I would recommend you making some kale chips. 1 whole bunch of kale is like 50 calories, okay? And then with about 1 teaspoon of oil for the whole bunch, it adds about 40 calories. And so that's a total of about a little less than 100 calories. And then you have enough left for a couple carrots cut up. So that all together is 500 calories. You've got your sandwich with tofurkey slices and even a little bit of mayonnaise, the vegan mayonnaise. You've got lettuce, tomato, you've got the whole wheat bread. You've got some kale chips, an entire bunch of kale chips. That's pretty, it's good. It's filling and it's so nutrient dense. And you've got some carrots. That's a pretty good lunch, right? Now you can cut some calories by putting fewer tofurkey slices on and just load up more on the lettuce and tomatoes, add some roasted red peppers. You can use mustard instead of mayonnaise, which will reduce the calories even more. 1 tablespoon of mustard is about 15 calories versus the mayonnaise, which was 80. You can replace the whole wheat slices with whole wheat pita bread. Whole wheat pita bread is about 170 calories. So you get 170 as opposed to 200 for the 2 slices of whole wheat bread. You cut 30 calories. I should say you save 30 calories. You can eliminate the bread altogether. That's 200 calories right there. And you can make it more of a chef salad. So chop up the tofurkey slices and toss it with lettuce and raw veggies and a low-cal dressing. So there's all these variations within that particular meal. Now, one of my favorite quick lunches, which happens to come in around 500 calories, is so simple. It's so easy. And you can make this in advance. Obviously, I'm home, so I can just do it myself when I'm ready for lunch. I open a can of kidney beans, which is about 330 calories, and I rinse and drain that can of kidney beans. And you can do this with black beans as well, or any kind of beans. And I put them in a small pot, and I put in about a quarter of a cup or half a cup of water. I stir in some chili powder, some cumin, some salt, and then a couple of handfuls of chopped kale or chard. Okay. Then I stir this all together, and I let it cook until it becomes thick. My husband was really surprised when he saw how thick it was. And it's just from cooking down a bit. The water becomes very thick. It takes about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, not very long. And then while that's cooking, I start preparing the rest of that meal. I open some mango salsa. You can certainly make your own salsa, but I'm talking about some quick meals here as well. I open some mango salsa, which is like 20 calories for a half a cup. But most salsa, if you're getting an oil-free salsa, which most salsa is, you can do a tomato-based salsa. You can do whatever kind of salsa you like. It's a great way to add flavor and nutrition without a lot of calories. And then I toast 2 corn tortillas. It's about 2 or 3. I think, gosh, the ones I get are the Whole Foods 365 brand corn tortillas. And if I remember correctly, gosh, it's 115 for 2, I think, or maybe a little bit more than that for 3. Not very much at all. And then I add some chopped lettuce and tomato, and all of this is under 500 calories. Sometimes I add half a small avocado, and I just It's really pretty. I just put them on a plate. I've got the tortillas. I've got the beautiful mango salsa. I've got the beans and I've got the lettuce and tomatoes, and it's very colorful and it's really nutrient dense. Ways to cut calories in this: you could eliminate the tortillas altogether. You can make it a big old bean salad, increase the lettuce, increase the tomatoes, add a chopped onion. You can have one tortilla instead of two. You can have two instead of three and then still increase the tomatoes and lettuce. So you have all of these ways to add more volume and reduce calories. So it's, again, up to you. The more you reduce breads and tortillas, as you can see, you immediately have more calories to spend on whole foods. So that's pretty obvious. Veggie burgers are common fare for vegans. Really, burgers are common fare for everyone. Two Wildwood Southwest tofu burgers, which is one of my favorites, you spend 336 calories for those two. Now, I always eat these without a bun, but you can eat them with a bun. But I'm just fine with two patties and then I have a small salad on the side. Or I have these burgers in place of the beans that I described above. So you can see it's the same amount of calories, 330. And then I have the corn tortillas and everything else I described just a minute ago. Or you can have other burgers. Two of Dr. Prager's California burgers are 220 calories. So you can see that's more than 100 calories less than the Wildwood Southwest burgers. Two of Amy's California veggie burgers are 140 calories, so even less. So you've got a lot of options here in terms of veggie burgers, and then you can dress them however you like and put them on a bun or not and just increase the vegetables as much as possible. What about pasta, pasta dishes? 1 cup of whole wheat penne, plus a quarter cup of canned white beans, rinsed and drained, 1.5 cups of cherry tomatoes, halved, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, 1/2 cup of fresh basil chopped, and 2 garlic cloves, and add more garlic than that. All of that together is about 500 calories. Pretty awesome, pretty delicious. Add a ton of kale, chopped kale, to get even more nutrients, and that's even fewer calories. So just a ton of options there in terms of a nice, filling, delicious, healthful meal. Green salads are obviously the best way to spend your calories wisely. It's ridiculous how much volume you can get and have so few calories. Certainly use any lettuce as your base. One of my favorites is to make kale, chopped curly kale, as a base for my salad. You can do the same thing with chopped chard. We're talking, like I said, 50 calories for the amount of, for a single salad, 50 calories or so for all of those greens. And then top it with beans. And again, remember, the can of rinsed and drained beans averages about 330 calories. You're getting a lot of calories there, but you're also getting a lot of nutrients. You can use 1/2 can if you want to spend more calories on veggies. Or instead of the beans, you can use tofu. You can, let's see, I think about 3 ounces of extra firm tofu is about 90 calories. And then you pile on the veggies. 1 tomato is 15 calories. 1 medium raw carrot is 35 calories. 1 cup of cauliflower, raw cauliflower, is 25 calories. I love raw cauliflower in my salads. Raw broccoli, snap peas. There are so many options for you in terms of the nutrient-dense, calorie-poor foods. And then whatever dressing you like. There are so many low-cal dressings. My favorite is just seasoned rice vinegar. I usually mix a little bit of garlic and a little bit of miso, or a little balsamic vinegar. Balsamic vinegar is one of those things where it's not about nutrients, but in terms of flavor, a little bit goes a long way. Get the good stuff. Get a really good balsamic vinegar, which is only about 20 calories a tablespoon, and a smidge of oil, you know, just a smidge. 1 tablespoon of olive oil is about 120 calories. So if you add about 1/2 tablespoon of olive oil, you're not getting very many calories, or you don't have to add any oil at all, okay? And then, of course, ways to cut calories: just add more veggies, a no-oil dressing, and just 1/2 can of beans. I think I already said that. So that just gives you an idea of how 500 calories can be spent, and you might decide to spend less on one meal or two meals and more on another. It doesn't have to be 500 calories each time. For instance, you might spend less than 500 calories for breakfast. I usually have less than 500 for breakfast. That's just me. And then you can allow yourself a little extra to spend on lunch or dinner, or even a snack. Maybe you know you're going out for dinner, and so you save up a few calories to spend on restaurant food, just like you're spending the money for the restaurant food, right? You're saving up. You're not buying that on credit. Of course you're not. You're spending cash, and you're making sure that you have the money you need to buy that food while you're doing the same thing. You want to make sure that you have the calories to spend on that restaurant food, because the restaurant food will most definitely be higher in calories because of the amount of fat they tend to use. But don't hesitate to ask for what you want when you're in a restaurant. Even when you're in a restaurant, you can ask for ways for them to cut the calories. You can ask for just a oil and vinegar instead of getting, you know, a heavy dressing, and then just use the vinegar. You can ask for things to be sauteed in water instead of oil. Restaurants are becoming a lot more amenable to people's dietary requests. So ask for what you want. You're paying for that food. Let's talk about some ways to spend calories on breakfast. I really think, to be really honest with you, I think breakfast is my favorite meal of the day. I love breakfast. And I know some people do not eat breakfast. Blows my mind. Didn't I talk about that in the first episode? Absolutely eat breakfast. Do not skip breakfast. I think I talked about some studies that indicated that people who don't eat breakfast actually weigh more than people who do eat breakfast. It is such an essential way to start the day. You have to start the day eating breakfast. I just get so excited when I wake up and I make a ritual of it. And I think that really helps too, just really making it part of treating yourself well and nurturing yourself and your family, but yourself too. And so I make a ritual of it in the morning. I've stopped, you know, I don't eat breakfast in front of the computer. I used to, but now I make sure that I get up early enough. I go outside in my garden and my cats come out with me. I make my pot of tea, my first pot of tea, and I prepare my breakfast and I go and I just enjoy the garden and listen to the news and, you know, maybe read a magazine or read a book that I'm reading. And it's just such a lovely ritual to start the day that way. So let's look at some options for breakfast. 1 6-ounce container of soy milk yogurt is between 160 or 170 calories. It depends on what kind you're getting, blueberry or strawberry or whatever. And add to that 2 tablespoons of walnuts for another 100 calories, 1 tablespoon of ground flax seeds for about 50 calories, and you've got plenty of calories to spend on fruit, on fresh fruit. 110 calories or so for a medium banana, only about 40 calories for an entire half cup of blueberries, 40 calories for a half a cup of blueberries. And they're so nutrient dense. You've got about 20 calories to spend for a half a cup of whole strawberries. So just pile on the fruit. You've got plenty of options for fruit and they're nutrient rich and calorie poor. So yogurt, nuts, some flax seeds, and some fruit is a fantastic way to start the day. If you like oatmeal, and you know, my breakfasts do vary according to the season, as all my meals do. So in the colder months, perhaps they're warmer meals. And so I'll have a half a cup of uncooked oatmeal, which is about 150 calories. And then you can add to that some sugar. You can add to that some sweetener. And I've talked about this before, you know, depending on the sweetener you use, the calories are pretty much all the same. So you're not really, it doesn't matter. You can get 45 to 50 calories from a tablespoon of brown sugar. You can get 45 to 50 calories from a tablespoon of maple syrup or whatever sweetener you like. Agave nectar is also a sweetener that I use. But please keep in mind that I am not eating these sweeteners because I think they're giving me any nutrients. I'm eating these sweeteners because of the way they taste. So agave nectar is just one of those sweeteners that I'll use for something like this. 1 apple is about 70 calories chopped up for like a medium apple. And then a tablespoon of walnuts, about 50 calories, and a tablespoon of ground flax seeds, which I said was 50. So that's a really, really nice way. Again, really nutrient dense and calorie poor. Saying that a lot. And then fruit smoothies. I've talked about fruit smoothies. Fruit smoothies can be made with fewer calories or a lot of calories. So if you want more than 500 calories, that's very easy to do. If you're an endurance athlete and you need more calories, or you're pregnant and you need more calories, or you're lactating and you need more calories, and then by virtue of that, you need some extra protein, you can do that very easily with a fruit smoothie. But you can also make them less calorie dense. Depends on what you want. Just calculate the bananas about 110. Blueberries, like I said, about a half a cup is about 40 calories. And then I always have to add peanut butter or almond butter because I love that in my smoothie. So that's about 80 calories. And then, of course, the tablespoon of flax seeds. 1 cup of non-dairy milk. They all average about 90 calories, though there are lower calorie milks you can get. You can use water instead. And I would use a nice cold filtered water, not just, you know, water from the tap. I mean, it can be water from the tap that is cold. That's fine. But just make it nice and cold. It really makes a difference. Or orange juice, or half milk and half orange juice. So you can lower those calories and not use all milk and just use some juice or some water. There are so many options. Now, look at the difference between the food and nutrients you get from spending 400 to 500 calories on whole foods and on something a little less whole. It's hard to determine exactly how many calories there are in a pancake, vegan, of course, because it depends on what it's made with. But if you want to spend 500 calories on a heartier brunch type breakfast, which you can do, we're talking about 150 calories per average size pancake. So people usually have about three, right, or more pancakes. And so that's about 450 calories right there for three pancakes, just on the pancakes. And that doesn't include what you top it with. Obviously, you know, if you're, again, having kind of a richer breakfast, you're going to add some earth balance. Let's say a teaspoon, which is pretty light compared to how much most people use on their pancakes. So let's say about 50 calories for that. You're already at 500 calories. If you add any sweetener, like a maple syrup, probably more than a tablespoon. If we add 2 tablespoons, it's about 100 calories. So you're at 600 calories. And then hopefully you would want to add some fruit. So again, back to our half a cup of blueberries. Let's put some blueberries on there. We're talking about 640, 650 calories. That's fine. You can do that. But again, remember, you're going to want to pay for that. And maybe you want to reduce the calories in a meal later on in the day or make your intentional workout enough so that you can pay for those calories. You can certainly cut the calories by eliminating the butter. You can use more whole chopped fruit instead of maple syrup. So you can incorporate whole chopped fruit within the pancakes themselves, like putting blueberries in the batter, but you can use whole chopped fruit instead of maple syrup. And if you want to sweeten the fruit, let's say it's not incredibly sweet and you want it sweeter, just mix it with a little bit of fruit syrup or a little bit of agave nectar with that. And then you've got kind of more of a thicker fruit mixture. But that's up to you, but you can see how many calories you get in something like pancakes without a lot of nutrition. Now, when I choose cereals, I do recommend the ones that are the most whole, like Grape Nuts or Total or Bran Flakes. You've got only 200 calories for a half a cup of Grape Nuts, and they're pretty dense. So a half a cup doesn't sound like a lot for a cereal, but it is. They're loaded with fiber, loaded with protein and iron and B12. They're fortified. Bran Flakes is 95 calories for 3/4 of a cup, and it has a ton of fiber in the Bran Flakes. And then, of course, fortified with B12. And then the same with the All Bran cereal, 81 calories for half a cup, loads of fiber, B12 fortified, iron fortified. And then add to that a cup of non-dairy milk. Like I said, 90 calories for that for about 8 fluid ounces. And of course, a banana and berries, and you're good to go. So that's a perfectly fine way, but just really go for the cereals that are whole without added sugar. You can imagine you're not going to get a lot of bang for your calorie buck if you just have a bagel, which is about 350 calories for one bagel, and then and peanut butter, which would be 190 calories for about 2 tablespoons. But you can still choose that bagel with peanut butter. It's just you have to ask yourself, is that the best way to spend my precious calories? It's totally up to you. In terms of snacks, honestly, the best way to spend calories for weight loss and nutrition in terms of snacks, you really can't beat raw fruit and raw vegetables. I tend to buy fruit that I can just sit down and eat, you know, just kind of sit with a bowl next to me and pop into my mouth. And of course, that depends on what's in season, but I usually chop up my fruit. So again, in terms of that ritual, I don't want to just bite into an apple or just bite into a banana. If you're on the road, that's a perfectly fine option. But when I'm sitting at my desk and I want to have a snack with me while I'm working, I purposefully, you know, chop up the banana and I put it on a pretty plate, and I, you know, maybe have the strawberries and I put it on a pretty plate, or throw some blueberries in a little bowl, maybe sprinkle a little bit of agave, maybe a little bit of cinnamon. And it's a much more lovely way to enjoy that snack. But you've got so many options in terms of fruit. And then, of course, in terms of raw vegetables, you've got carrots or bell peppers, cauliflower florets. I love raw cauliflower. And then you can dip them in a little hummus. Sometimes I'll sprinkle a little salt on, a little nutritional yeast on these raw veggies. And sometimes if it's just carrots, I'll treat myself to a little peanut butter. I love peanut butter. And dip the carrot sticks in the peanut butter. So that's the best way to snack, to be really honest with you. Popcorn's also a great snack. You can overdo it very easily if you have, you know, like a gallon's worth of popcorn. One cup of air popped popcorn is only 30 calories, but I never eat just a cup. So just consider that. And then I usually add a little nutritional yeast and salt. And then I usually add a little bit of melted earth balance. It depends. If I want completely oil free, I won't use any earth balance, or you can use a little spray on olive oil, you know, which will also allow the nutritional yeast and the salt to stick. It's however you want to spend your calories. Vegan ice creams vary, but, you know, a cup of ice cream is anywhere between 250 and 400 calories. That's an entire meal. That's not a snack. It depends on the brand and flavor. So it's up to you how you want to spend those calories. My favorite ice cream, quote unquote, is just frozen bananas thrown in the Vitamix, add a little bit of almond milk, a little vanilla extract, and a little cinnamon. You can't beat it. It doesn't hold that well in the freezer because there's no sugar to kind of keep it preserved, is what one of the things that sugar does when you're making ice cream. But I eat it right away and I love it because, again, a lot of the ice cream, of anything we eat really has to do with the familiar look of it, the familiar taste, the mouthfeel. And so sitting down with a bowl of ice cream, which is just frozen banana pureed, is the same thing as sitting down with a bowl of ice cream. And it's delicious and there's no added sugar. Perhaps there's some sweetener from the almond milk, but really the sweetness is coming from the sugar in the bananas. And so freeze those bananas when they're nice and ripe, break them apart, peel them, break them apart, and throw them in a plastic bag and throw them in the freezer. And then anytime you want ice cream, you can have it with your frozen bananas. Pretty awesome. My favorite. Beverages. Keep in mind that beverages can be a part of your total calories for the day, but some can really add a lot of calories very quickly. If that's where you want to spend your calories, that's up to you. Consider that a 4-ounce glass of red table wine is about 100 calories. A dry white wine is between 80 and 100. A 12-ounce bottle of beer is typically 150 calories. 8 ounces of non-dairy milk, I've already said, is 90 calories. And 8 ounces of orange juice is about 110 calories. I won't even go through all the exotic coffee drinks people get at cafes. You can look them up online, but they do add calories pretty quickly. And so it's up to you. I've said before that water is the only beverage we need, and that's all we need. So if you're drinking anything at mealtime other than water, you might want to reconsider that. The point I'm trying to make is twofold. When your goal is to lose weight, you can still eat your favorite foods. You just have to make sure that's how you want to spend your calories. You have the choice. That's number one. Number two is when you're making your food choices, consider nutrient density. You are automatically going to get those that are less calorie dense when you make nutrient density your choice. And they'll, of course, be the healthiest for you as well. So those are the two points I'm really hoping I'm getting across here. When you realize that you have the power to spend the way you want to and pay for it with a little calorie expenditure, then you can allow yourself to have more indulgent food for a special occasion or for dinner or when you go out to a restaurant. You can have the birthday cake, but you have to cough up the calories. And I don't mean that literally. I mean that you have to pay for them. Just like if you buy a pair of new leather-free shoes, you have to cough up the dough. There are no free rides. There are just no free rides in any of this. So when you're looking to lose weight, I would recommend that you decide sometimes in every given moment what's more important, feeling good about yourself and being healthy or eating that cookie. And to my point before, you can still have the cookie, but maybe one is enough, maybe a bite of one. There will always be more cookies around. You will never be deprived of cookies, okay? You can have a cookie at another time, but in that given moment, we need to ask, if I'm going to have this cookie, and let's say for convenience sake, it's an Oreo cookie, which is vegan, by the way. Let's say 55 calories for that Oreo cookie. If I have two, I'm racking up 110. Okay, fine. Am I willing to go work off that 55 or 110 calories? Am I willing to go for a walk? Now consider walking 1 mile is a 70 calorie burn. Just walking 1 mile is a 70 calorie burn. So am I willing to go walk for that length of time that I need to walk off that cookie or those two cookies? The answer might be yes. So that's fine. Or ask, am I willing to have 55 or 110 or whatever it is that you choose, fewer calories today to pay for these cookies now? Right? Maybe you are. Maybe you'll have a smaller dinner, but you have to pay for it somewhere. It's up to you. Now, a big part of being tempted by the high calorie things that we love is figuring out how they get put in front of us in the first place. If they're not in our homes, we will be less tempted by them. If you want to do yourself the biggest favor, keep the stuff that tempts you out of the house. When I was testing for the Joy of Vegan Baking, I tested 150 desserts. There's a lot of baked goods in my home in a short period of time. I would bake I would take a bite or two just to confirm the taste and the texture, and then I would give them to my husband as quickly as possible to take to his coworkers, or I would bring them across the street to a neighbor. There was no way I could keep that stuff in my house without eating it all. There was no way. And it's not that I don't have self-control. I do have self-control, but it's just that it doesn't make any sense to make things harder on us than we have to. With stuff like that in the house, it's easier to eat them. It's kind of one of the reasons I don't have television, you know? It's not that I don't have self-control, but it's candy. It makes it so easy to just sit there and flip through crap and then just land on it and kind of stay there. So it's just easier not to have it in the first place at all. If the stuff is not in the house, we'd be less inclined to eat it, because then you have to go make an effort to go to the store and buy the cookies or buy the ingredients to make the cupcakes or whatever it is. So it's definitely a deterrent, and I think it really works. And this goes for anything that our temptation might be. For some, it's baked goods. For some, it's bread. For some, it's pretzels. For others, it's chips. For others, it's ice cream. Only you know. Only you know. And once you know how many calories you want to spend, you might say, you know, I'm going to have a couple pieces of bread. And I'm okay with that. And that's fine. That's up to you. You're in charge. A few more tips for weight loss. I do think it's helpful for people to set a goal. Studies indicate that setting goals really do help people more successfully lose weight. The goals might be pounds lost. They might be inches lost. They may be muscle gain, maybe body fat lost, whatever works for you. But I do think setting a goal is helpful, and make it realistic. Remember in part one, I said that experts recommend no more than 2 pounds of weight loss a week in terms of healthy weight loss. I think finding a buddy and doing it with someone else is really helpful. It should be enough that we're accountable to ourselves. It should be enough, but sometimes it's not. And it's helpful to have someone else we're accountable to. Find someone you trust and either create a commitment to each other, or if that person that you trust and you want to make a commitment to isn't losing weight, isn't the one who has to lose weight, at least tell that person what your goals are. Confide in that person so that someone else knows besides you what you're striving towards. That really helps us in terms of being accountable. And just as I talked about in part one about calculating calories expended, at least in the beginning, maybe for the first 3 months, I think it would be helpful to write down the calories you're taking in. Since we tend to rotate the same foods again and again, it becomes easy to know how many calories you're taking in after about 3 months or so. But in the beginning, a lot of people say that keeping track really makes a huge difference for them. So you can use an online program, you can use a software program you buy, or you can just keep a log in a journal or on a spreadsheet online. Once you know exactly how much you're taking in and burning, you'll be able to see exactly how you can speed it up or slow it down or just find a happy balance. Now, before I close, I want to give a quick shout out to a podcast. I've mentioned Megan Storms before. Megan generously makes all the changes to and the updates of content on my website on compassionatecooks.com. She's a podcast listener and she's a supporter. But more than that, she's also a podcaster herself. And she has a very inspiring story about weight loss involving both becoming vegan and running. And she has combined these topics in her own podcast called Run Vegan Run, which is a podcast in which Megan chronicles her running and endurance lifestyle combined with being vegan. It's what she calls a run cast primarily, which means she records during her runs, which is quite impressive. She touches upon how one can meet the demands of an endurance athlete's diet while being vegan, and also talks about being vegan in general, not just in terms of being an endurance athlete. So find her podcast at veganrunningmom.com or subscribe to her podcast by searching for Run Vegan Run on iTunes or other podcatchers. So I just wanted to give that shout out since we were talking about calorie expenditure in that first part. It's a fantastic podcast, and I think it would be awesome for you guys to check it out. So thank you, Megan, for all you're doing. So I think that's it. Perhaps we'll need to revisit this topic in the future, but for now, my hope is that you have enough information to make choices that lead to the healthiest, most joyful you. The animals need us to be healthy. Our families need us to be healthy. Our friends need us to be healthy. And at our healthiest, we can operate at our highest, most optimum level spiritually and mentally and physically. You can't ask for more than that. So do what you need to do to get as healthy as possible. We need you. For the animals, both human and non-human. This is Colleen with Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.